I'm joined by two people who know a lot about hearing loss. I'm joined by Selma Becker from Help in Hearing. She's an audiologist. And Help in Hearing is a company that's based both here in Marlow and also has a centre in Farnham Common. And also joined by Paul Lewin. He's from Starkey Hearing Technologies, one of the companies that supplies devices that can help you if you are suffering from hearing loss. So let's start off with Selma. Selma, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, and how are you?
I'm very well, and thank you for letting us come on to your show.
No, it's good to be here. It's a fascinating subject, and as you know, because you are my audiologist, it's a subject that's close to my heart. So I said you're an audiologist, and you're based here in Marlow. Tell me what an audiologist is. I'm sure most people can probably guess, but probably it's slightly broader than they may think.
Yes, I mean, audiologist obviously is... It basically relates everything to do with ears and hearing and hearing health, effectively. I feel that hearing has always been a very sort of neglected sense. Problem is that people tend to take hearing very much for granted. Our hearing is such that when you think of it, it is an automatic sense. It never switches off. When you close your eyes, for example, with vision, when you go to sleep, your eyes are closed and they relax. But if you go and if you're woken up in the middle of the night, you suddenly hear a sound. So it says that your hearing has actually made you aware that there was a sound that is unfamiliar, and therefore will make you aware of danger, effectively.
Right.
So there is a sense that you have a hearing level that basically never stops. Sorry, I'm going to get a little bit lost in my enthusiasm of hearing.
Because hearing loss is one of the services that audiologists do. You also check for the health of hearing as well, don't you? Health of the ears, yeah.
In fact, I feel that hearing has had, or hearing loss is something that is quite negative, and I think we as an industry in audiology will need to change the actual terminology about hearing, and maybe rather than talking about hearing loss, we can talk about hearing changes, because our hearing changes effectively from the day we are born. We have got a much wider range of hearing when we are born. So if you're a teenager, for example, you can hear frequency and sound that somebody who turns an adult doesn't hear anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why we have often, alarms outside centres that are not audible to adults, but audible to juveniles, sort of for younger people, and this basically for prevention, crime prevention, and let them.
Let's just talk about that one point. So, as you get older, and I mean, I'm 62, so I'm getting on in years.
Yeah.
Is it a natural thing that cannot be prevented? And I'm thinking both of hearing loss, both in terms of the volume of sound you can hear. In other words, you can't hear very quiet things, and also the frequency range. You can't hear very high things or maybe very low things. So there's two aspects, I guess. Maybe you can't hear particular frequencies. I guess it's probably the high frequencies you can't hear more, and also the level of the sound. The volume of the sound. So is the decrease in both of those aspects something that is automatic and can't be avoided as you get older?
Quite often. I mean, but hearing changes happen for various reasons, but the main reason is often age-related. And that's the type of loss that happens when the higher frequencies diminish first. And generally, we do find that high frequency reduce first. It's over a long period of time. And with high frequency loss, it's not so much that you're losing the loudness of sound, but you're losing the clarity of sound. And that is often the way that when the person who is affected with a very gradual, gentle sort of reduction of hearing over many, many years, the affected person is the one that is least aware of it, because the brain is really clever in adapting and changing and making provisions for you to be able to still communicate or try to communicate, but you have to use a much greater listening effort to then understand. And particularly then when there is various of background noise happening as well, because the low frequencies, which may still be on a normal level, you can hear them perfectly okay. But the higher frequency, as you drop off, suddenly doesn't give you the consonants that you need to hear to interpret what you're listening to. So you have this bubble of sound that is stopping you to hear and understand the speech correctly.
And so, as the hearing loss gets a little bit more significant, a little more notable, then the other senses take over a little bit. For example, I'm thinking that, you know, when, as people do lose their hearing, without even trying, they begin to lip read a little bit, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just for example.
Yes, you use eye movement. You use your eyes to get clues from lip movement, from facial expression, body language. All of this gives you clues to hear better.
So it's good that one thing does get better as you get older. So your ability to lip read gets older. Paul, let me turn to you. I know you're from Starkey Hearing Technologies, a company that supplies hearing assistance devices. Now, I know my mum had hearing aids pretty much all through her life, certainly all the time that I was at least a child and grown up. She had hearing aids. And I think I've probably got a very old idea of what hearing aids were like. I mean, her first one was something that looked like a packet of cigarettes that fitted in the top pocket. And then the next one was a huge, bulky one that went round behind the ear and was forever making a whistling sound.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Chris. I think everybody's got images of hearing aids far back, where we see beige bananas behind people's ears.
Beige bananas.
Whistling away. Hearing technology has moved on significantly over the years. As a company, 52 years in now, electronics have become smaller, connections to hearing aids to other devices have much improved. And we mustn't get away from the fact that hearing loss is something that needs to be treated individually. So everybody that wears a hearing aid won't always have the same difficulty. It's a very personal thing. And what you'll see in hearing technology today is a very small computer chip in a hearing aid that can actually be programmed individually.
When you say programmed individually, to that person's, is it you can say, oh, this person's got a hearing loss in that particular frequency range, so you can say that the hearing aid would work just in that frequency range?
Absolutely. So if you think about hearing loss, it's all about the sensitivity of hearing. Anyone with a hearing loss would struggle with perhaps speech or hearing in background noise, but their hearing levels will be different across the frequency range, and those hearing aids can be tailored by the computer to give the correct amount of correction for the hearing loss.
And is there any level of amendment that the user can do once the hearing aid has been delivered? In other words, once it's been dispensed or prescribed, once you have it at home and you feel like you want to maybe change the frequency response, can you do that yourself?
Yes. We have to be careful, because hearing loss needs to be corrected safely. So right. That's where audiologists come in and do that correctly and properly. However, now with the smarter hearing aid technology, there are some significant changes that can be made through an app on a phone. So you may be in a busy restaurant, you want to do some more tuning to your hearing aid to hear better, and those corrections can be made through the app.
That's fascinating.
So you can think of it like your stereo at home, where you've got the graphic equalizer. You need a bit more bass or less treble, that can be all adjusted through the phone.
You don't look old enough, Paul, to remember stereo with graphic equalisers. That's 1980s technology for you, but I know exactly what
Very
you mean.
Very kind.
I know exactly what you mean. First question has come from Jan. Jan, it could be Jan, let's go for Jan. Apologies if I got that wrong. Jan said that she went to a music festival, sorry, it could be he actually, went to a music festival about a week ago and still has some ringing in the ears. Is that tinnitus? And if so, will it get better? Who's the best one to handle that one? Selma, what do you think on that one?
Well,
a music festival and ringing in the ears.
Okay. Ringing in the ears, basically, you could terminate, you could say that it's tinnitus. Tinnitus is really just a definition of noise. And When you expose yourself to loud noise, such as in a festival situation, if you spend a lot of time in a noisy environment such as festivals, and you don't protect your hearing from the loud noise that you're exposed to for hours and hours on end, The auditory system is going to give you a little bit of a warning to say this is a bit too loud and is creating a sound that you're going to be aware of for a little while. Generally, with music festivals and so on, this is a temporary sort of change, and hopefully it does then revert after a little while and you forget and the sound diminishes again. If you, however, continue to expose yourself to those loud noises, you will find that there will be a damage to your auditory system. In fact, my stepdaughter was recently tested for her hearing and found that she has got a high frequency noise induced hearing loss. She's a DJ in the drum and bass scene, and unfortunately, despite of us providing her with noise protection, she tends to lose them a lot, forgets to put them in or takes them to the gig. And luckily, she hasn't got tinnitus, but it is there as a little sign that the noise has damaged some of the frequencies in her hearing. So the best thing you can do is, if you do go to festivals or anywhere where there's a lot of noise, is to put noise protection in, especially if you're exposed for hours and hours on end to loud music.
That's very, very good advice. We don't suffer the same thing here at Marlow FM, because obviously we can control the environment in terms of the volume of the headphones. I have my headphones pretty quiet most of the time, and the speakers in the studio are pretty quiet. But I guess your stepdaughter doesn't have that option, really. If she's performing in a live club the music has to be loud, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I hope that was an answer that helped you, Jan. Let's have a move on to the next questions from Lee. Lee works in the construction industry and often uses power tools. What level of noise is considered dangerous to hearing, and what type of ear protection would you recommend? Is that one a question for you, Paul?
Yes, certainly is, Chris. We should be really monitoring noisy environments carefully. If anyone's working in specific industries like construction, we would normally deem sound levels above 85 dB to be harmful. 85 dB is considered a noise, a fairly loud noise, something like a noisy restaurant. But what you also have to consider is the length of time you may be in that noise. So we could say that if you're up at 100 decibels for 5 minutes is more harmful than perhaps 5 minutes 85 dB. So you have to think about the noise level, but also how long you spent in that situation.
And I think that's called the dose, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And if we're thinking about construction, you're probably using the machinery for long stages during the day. That would need protection. And there are safety at work regulations to make sure this happens. So in terms of protecting from loud sounds, we should be considering any form of protection in the ear or over the ear to basically reduce the level of noise reaching the tympanic membrane or the eardrum of the ear and ensure that hearing damage is decreased. Typically, we would suggest something that's made for the ear, something custom-made, would be better. The reason for that is it seals the ear canal very well, it's comfortable, and it can be just left in there all day. And there are certain systems you can wear that still allow you to hear some speech and conversation. So you can protect your hearing from the loud sounds, but you can also hear a conversation at the same time.
That's a great thing that Lee would find useful, I think, in his job.
Yeah.
One thing I'd add to that, Lee, is that Paul's just mentioned 85 decibels is the area that you should be thinking of being on the noisy side, and you should be not exposed to much more than that. I have an app on my phone, which I'm now showing to my guests, which is...
Nice level manager.
You've seen it before, the Decibel X, which shows both the current level of the decibels, which is about 62, 63 in the studio, and also the highest since you turned it on. So you keep a peek of it, and it can also work out your dose as well. Your dose is the time spent at a particular high level. So you might want to do that, Lee, is look for Decibel X on the App Store of your iPhone or your Android phone. It costs a bit, not much, £2.79 a month, but it's worth it to keep a track on that if that's something you're concerned about. Right, time for two more questions. Next question is from, let me have a look. It it's from... oops, my machine's not working today. There it is. It's moving now. It's from Robin. And Robin is interested in the latest hearing technology and would like to try some. So this question for both both Paul, I think, as the manufacturer, and Selma is the audiologist and therefore the supplier. Who's going to take this one? So how can Robin try out the latest technology?
Well, firstly, I would suggest that we need to establish that Paul actually has... So Robin has actually got a hearing deficiency, I presume, that asking the question that he has. What we need to establish first is what the level of hearing is for him, where it has deteriorated. We also need to understand whether, where he is having the main difficulties with his hearing. So where does he find the communication problems? And so... As audiologists, and we at Helping Hearing, will do this initial assessment, which takes around 80, 90 minutes, where we really start to understand his problem. But then we have got the options of demonstrating all the different types of products that are available, and the products are just phenomenal nowadays. I mean, they really just so. I mean, we're talking about artificial intelligence and rechargeable technology. Fantastic products that we are using now. So once we understand that, he'll be able to... I will demonstrate that in the office. We even give them a chance to maybe walk out with it, use the technology for a little while in their own environment, bring them back, observe, do some fine-tuning. So it's very much a personalised sort of service that we will give Robin if he decides he wants to try something like that.
That's very good advice. But the key thing is you wouldn't just try the technology and walk out with it.
Absolutely not.
You need to have done a professional assessment of the hearing and worked out where the hearing loss is.
Absolutely. Right. You can't just sort of go and put some hearing aids on and there you go. It's very much an involved procedure.
Yeah. Paul, have you anything to add to that? About where can Robin try out this latest technology?
Yeah, I mean, the type of technology we're dealing with today, as I said earlier, this has really moved on quickly over the last few years. You can think of a hearing aid today much more like you could think about the mobile phone maybe 10 years ago. We picked up a mobile phone to make a phone call. And what we see now with mobile phones is they can do everything. They can take a picture. You can surf the internet. And it becomes more of a multi-purpose device. The type of technology we're seeing today allows us to do that as well. So we can use the power of a smartphone to really bring some features into a hearing aid system. And some great examples of that would be integrated into your hearing aid is a sensor. And the sensor can actually track your activity. So it can understand numbers of steps per day. If you're using things like watch type devices to track your fitness, you can do all of that through a hearing aid on your ear. But also, what we mustn't forget about hearing aid technology today is how it's moved on in helping you hear better and the sound quality that we can provide in hearing aids today. So a very small computer, you can think of the computers working very hard, very fast. They're working much quicker than the lunar landing back in 1969, the computer on that hearing aid. On that space mission. And we're actually working harder with a hearing aid system today.
Less powerful than what you have in your hearing aid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we can do that in a tiny microchip. So it can be placed on the ear very discreetly and provide optimum clarity for hearing speech, but also reducing background noise very well as well.
That's amazing. And one more point from Selma, I think.
And... We're actually organising an event on the 3rd of October. We're doing this hearing health event at the Marlow Club, right, where we are able to actually demonstrate the Starkey artificial intelligent device that Paul is talking about. So we're lucky to have Starkey as a partner within our business. They're one of our partners of hearing aid technology, and they... prepared to show it to people there and then on the day. So
Great. Well, let's talk about that in a little more detail, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Once we've heard the final question that's recently come in from David. David has asked about hearing aids helping dementia. He said he's read an article recently on how hearing aids can help dementia. Is this true?
Yeah, we have known that hearing changes really for many years. As audiologists, we have been very much aware that not addressing your hearing deficiency or leaving it for too long does sort of start a sort of a decline in your cognitive function. And the way we have observed this is that generally people wait anything between 10 to 15 years before they actively seek help with hearing correction. And I mean, it's shocking when you think of it, that when you can't see, you get yourself the glasses. But if you can't hear properly, you wait and wait and wait before you actually do something about it. And so what happens with a gradual hearing decline is that the people decide, well, I find it really difficult to hear in a noisy environment, so I'd rather not go into this situation. So you start changing your lifestyle before you actually address changing or amplifying your hearing. And we have the study, which was a very long study with a lot of people, over 3,000 people. They followed people who had normal hearing, people who had hearing loss and aided, and hearing loss unaided. And over the years, they have done memory function tests. And so they found that people who had normal hearing and people who have aided hearing, they did as well with memory function tests. Whilst people who had unaided hearing loss, they did considerably worse. It takes such a lot of effort to try and understand what people are saying, and therefore when you then need to memorize something as well, it takes much more effort. So it takes a long time to understand that what you're being asked.
So what you're saying there is that people may not realise that some of their other functions, maybe their memory or their reasoning skills, just begin to lose the edge on that. I'm not saying you're going to become stupid or whatever. You just lose the edge on that because of hearing loss, and they don't realise that could be corrected through hearing aids. Is that what you're saying?
It's absolutely hearing correction. I mean, Paul is a typical example. I mean, Paul is a very young hearing aid user, but he is only just in the last couple of years decided that he's in our industry, for goodness sakes.
If it took him so long to get around to it, just imagine the poor person in the street.
Absolutely.
So we're joined in the studio this morning by Selma Becker from Help in Hearing, which is a Marlow-based company that's a firm of audiologists and suppliers of hearing technology, and by Paul Lewin from Starkey Hearing Technologies, who's a manufacturer of these devices. And we're looking at things that you can do if you're listening at the moment and you have some hearing loss, or you think you might have some hearing loss. What should you do about it? Should you ignore it? Should you go and see an expert about it? How can you do that? And one thing I know that's coming up is an event coming up in October. In fact, that links into the next question we have. So Kate has sent me a question saying she has received a leaflet through her door about a hearing health event being held in Marlow in October. Is this what you're talking about? And if so, tell me about it a bit more. So yes, Kate, that is what we're talking about, the hearing health event in Marlow. Can you tell us a little bit more about that then, Selma?
Yes, I mean, it is literally really more raising awareness about how important hearing is, or hearing health is, how it can keep us physically and mentally fit. And the event is held at the Marlow Club. We decided to go into a fitness club to sort of demonstrate that you can need to keep physically as well as mentally and cognitive fit with healthy hearing. So the event itself will have presentations about new technology, particularly about how artificial intelligence can help monitoring brain and body health within a hearing aid app. So you can it's a little bit like a fitness tracker that so by using the hearing devices, it actually gives you information of how much cognitive stimulation you get throughout the day, and also your physical tracking as well. In fact, shortly we'll have something that is going to be introduced into the device, which has got a heart rate monitor, so you could effectively wear these devices so they monitor your heart rate as well, and all that information you'll be able to see on this app. Also, we're again talking about proactive treatment with hearing stimulation, how you can avoid cognitive decline, hence avoiding the early onset of dementia, which is hearing loss has been shown to be one of the biggest contributors to onset of dementia. And it's basically because of the gradual, gentle social decline that you is happening, where you just decide you don't want to mix with people so much. You don't want to communicate because the listening effort in these environments are just too great. So at this event, on this event, we want to demonstrate that the hearing devices nowadays and technology is so advanced and can make such a difference with the help of good guidance of the audiologist, of course.
That's great. And just got a question in from Jo saying, is this event free and does she need to book her place?
The event is entirely free, and yes, please, because spaces are limited. There's we have not got a very big area in the Marlow Club, so yes, it is. So if you can book, do it quickly online.
And can you remind us of the date and times?
It is on Thursday, October the 3rd. It's at 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. at the Marlow Club in Globe Park. If you want to book your place, either call us on 0345-222-0579 or just go onto our website, which is helpinhearing.co.uk/events.
That's 3rd of October.
Mm-hmm.
What day of the week was that?
Thursday, 3rd of October at 4 p.m. and it lasts until 7. There will be presentations between 5 and 6, and then a complimentary buffet and refreshments at 6 to 7.
Okay, and if people are interested in seeing a little bit more about that, go through the website again?
Absolutely, which is helpinhearing.co.uk.
Selma Becker. She's here in the studio along with Paul Lamb. Paul's from Starkey Hearing Technologies and Selma, of course, from Help in Hearing. And just got a question about the event coming up, Selma, which maybe you can answer, which is, don't have the name of this person, but they texted through, said if they don't know until the day of the event whether they can come or not, will it be okay for them to pop in and listen to the talks?
Obviously, places are limited, but maybe if you could ring us on the day, if the person wants to pop in and see if there are still spaces available, or just chance it and see if there's enough room to come in. I would say we would love to encourage everybody to come. So, but we just need to know a little bit about numbers because of the buffet that is going to be supplied free of charge
and seating, I guess,
and stuff. Seating as well. Yes, it is a little bit limited on there.
Brilliant. And can you give the caller? So I don't know their name. Can you give them the phone number?
It's a free phone number. It's 0345-222-0579. So that's 0345-222-0579.
Brilliant. Well, I hope that answers your question. So I'm joined, as I say, by Paul Lamb as well as Selma Becker. So, Paul, tell us a little bit about where you think, because you're intimately involved with this technology, where you think hearing aid and hearing assistance technology will go in the future.
Yeah, certainly. We actually have some things I haven't spoken about already that are literally here rather than just around the corner that no one really expected to see in a hearing aid. One of those things is the ability to translate. So translate one language to another.
Oh, the babelfish.
Absolutely, yeah.
The babelfish is here.
The babelfish is definitely here in your ear. So you can imagine you may be on your holidays, the waiter speaks to you in a foreign language, you can understand them by basically, with the aid of the phone and the hearing aid working together, taking his conversation, translating it into your own language and having that delivered through your hearing aids. So that's one thing that we're seeing, and that can give us future possibilities also in terms of if you've got hearing loss and you're struggling to hear somewhere difficult, perhaps have that conversation displayed on your phone screen at the same time so you can see the conversation if you mishear a couple of words.
Mm.
So it's nice to have that transcribed. Other things that we're looking at also are health monitoring type additions to hearing aids. So we talked about the heart rate monitor. That's a really useful device to have on your ear. It can measure the heart rate or the blood flow coming through. So in the future, we could be thinking about taking measurements from your hearing aid of blood pressure, body temperature, that could perhaps then give pre-warnings to your phone that perhaps your blood pressure isn't quite normal. Mm. Maybe you want to go and visit your doctor. So you could be monitoring that through the aid of your phone and your hearing aid working together. Also, what we may see in the future is additional tools to help you sleep better. And also with the app working as a tool with the health functions in mind, maybe a reminder every day to take your tablets.
Right.
So yeah, all these things can be linked together very well to provide you brilliant hearing, but also great monitoring of your health as well.
I've just got a great idea for a future invention. It's probably there already, knowing technology these days, but maybe something that if somebody's standing at your front door, and you're at home, maybe you're in the back room or in the garden, your hearing aid can tell you somebody at the front door, maybe a person being sensed being there, or they push the doorbell. That can't be far off, can it?
And absolutely, it's actually here.
Oh, right, there you go. I thought I'd just invented it.
So just to quickly finish on the subject of where we're seeing changes in hearing aids is actually hearing aids now aren't just hearing aids, they're wirelessly connected to all kinds of different things. So you can connect to your television set, for an example, and send the sound signal from the TV to your hearing aids so that everybody else in the room has the TV at a comfortable level of listening, and you can focus on your own level of listening.
Brilliant.
And doorbells and wireless types of accessories could be an addition in the future, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, just coming up to 11 o'clock, got the news from Sky News at 11. I really want to thank my two guests for coming in this morning and thank all the callers as well. We've had calls and texts and emails from about five or six different people. Obviously, it's an interesting topic to people in and around Marlow today about hearing loss and what can be done about it. So, Selma Backer, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for letting us be here.
It's great. And Paul Lamb, thank you as well.
No problem. Thank you, Chris.
And Selma, perhaps you can give the contact details for Help in Hearing, the website for Help in Hearing as well, because that's the local company that people would use, I think, as their first stop.
Okay. It's helpinhearing.co.uk and free phone number is 0345 222 0579, and we'd love to hear from anybody who has some hearing needs.
And you have a hearing test facility right here in Marlow.
We have hearing test facility, we have ear care facilities, we do wax removal, and we just basically look after your ears.